calling Christians to Worship and the Study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito coming to you from Island Community Church. God bless you. Happy Tuesday to you. Thank you, friends, for spending 30 minutes of your Tuesday with me and with us as we together study the Word of Almighty God. Lord God, we praise you in the house today. You've been so good to us. We return to give you glory here today. Thank you. Thank you for another day. Thank you for your goodness and mercy and for your grace. Thank you for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We worship you now through sitting under your word. We worship you through keeping your word, keeping your commands. Thank you that we can keep your word now because of your Holy Spirit. We listen for your voice here today. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, for all of these children out here. Bless all of the extended families and all of the children of my extended families here on the radio. Help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers today, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Again, I thank you for joining us here. This is the radio ministry of Island Community Church. We're in a series in the book of Hebrews. We're going to pick it up in chapter 4 now. And I decided to go back to the beginning so you can hear everything in order. This coming Sunday, I will be in chapter 6. I believe my sermon, I haven't worked on it yet, but I believe it's going to be, Can I Lose My Salvation? Because that's the big issue of Hebrews chapter 6. And that's why the book of Hebrews was the next to last, other than the book of Revelation, the next to last book to be received by the church. Because of chapter 6, and it created trouble amongst the church. Reading that the author of this wrote that if you walk away from God after you have been a partaker of the Holy Spirit, that there's nothing left. That's what we're going to address this Sunday morning at 10:30. More on that as the week unfolds, as the weekend draws closer. Here today, we're in chapter 4. And again, he's talking about rest, entering into the rest of God, and beware lest there be in any of us an evil heart of unbelief. Okay, here we go. This is chapter 4. This will wrap up tomorrow. We have service tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, and we will be in 2 Corinthians, and I'll be in chapter 4 this week. Love to see you tomorrow night. Here we go. We're in Hebrews chapter 4 here today.
Let's stop for a minute and give glory to God. Let's pray. Lord, we exalt you. Lord, we stop for a minute and we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. All the praises due you. And we, like David, who said, come, let us magnify the Lord together. We magnify you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You get all the praise for everything good that's happening here in this church. And we stop and lift you up. We praise you. We praise your holy name. Okay, maybe we're a little bit loud, maybe just on my mic, Dwayne. Okay, God's rest. That's where we're at here today. Okay, we're in Hebrews chapter 4. That's where we left off. So far, it's been an excellent study and trek through this book. And once again, we have learned a lot here going through Hebrews. Last week, the main points we looked at were these seven. Number one, Jesus destroyed Satan, who had the power of death. We learned that last week, remember? Let me say this again. Jesus destroyed Satan, who had the power of death. walk in his victory today. Number two, Jesus released us from the fear of dying. Walk in his victory today. Number three, what we learned last week, Jesus released us from the bondage brought about by fear. Number four, we learned that the Lord Jesus is our high priest who made propitiation for our sins, meaning he himself paid the payment for our sins, and the payment was his blood. He paid for our sins, and he paid for them with his blood. Number five, we learn that we need to hold fast. He's been saying it every week. Something is required of us, we've learned. We've got to hold fast. We need to be proactive with our faith. The Apostle Paul said right before he died, the last thing he ever said was, I fought, catch these action words, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Agona, A-G-O-N-A is how you spell race. What else do you think comes from that word? God help us. That's used in a marathon race. As you, dear God, you're gasping for air to try to go any further. That is what this word for race, looking unto Jesus. Let us run this agona that is set before us. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. May that be said of you and I as well. Why would you think the same is not required of you? Don't be like the weak caribou. You ever watch that guy Marlin on the TV? The weak caribou they used to show on Sunday evenings? All right, I'm dating myself. Wild Kingdom, remember? Oh, the weak caribou, the guy that walks like the hunchback in Notre Dame. Those are the ones that Satan always goes after. But the great truth is that you are, that God, the Lord Jesus, has destroyed the works of the devil. Works of the devil, Satan's got no hold on you. Don't be the weak caribou. Never give up. Hold fast. Stand your ground. Never let anyone steal your crown. The simple fact that Jesus warned us not to let it happen to us means that this can happen to us. The simple fact that he warned you not to let this happen to you means that it can happen to you. Now, I just wrote down really quickly in my margin here of Matthew chapter 13, I wrote on here, hold fast or else. Again, the simple fact that Jesus warned us not to let this happen to us means that it can happen to you. The Lord Jesus gives four lists of people that had this happen to them. The first is those that don't understand. Maybe you say, that's not fair. It is what it is. The first group didn't understand. And then it says Satan came and he snatched away the word that was sown in their heart. If you don't understand, do something about it. I'm here, so is he, 7 days a week. Let's fix that if you don't understand anything. Let's fix it. If you don't fix it, I'm going to be watching you on Sunday night at 7 o'clock. There he is. There he is, Darren. Behold, the weak caribou. Those who willingly, remember, snatched the pebble out of my hand I looked at last week. Don't play grasshopper with the devil. Hold fast what you have. So, four people start off in the Christian faith. The first of the four, they don't understand for various reasons. Maybe they don't understand because they hear voices now and they didn't hear them before. Because now you are a Christian and you have a bullseye around you now. And now the devil's after you when he used to own you in his back pocket. Now you hear from the enemy. You think something's wrong. You're too embarrassed or ashamed to tell the pastor. Or your kids come up and tell you that they hear things in their room at night. And you say, nah, too much linguine. Don't let this happen to you. This is a spiritual fight out here. These things are real. We need to hold fast. So the first group didn't understand. The second group, the troubles take them out. All the troubles in the world out here take them out. The third group, it says the cares of this world, better translated, the anxieties of this age. Those that rely on stress-reducing narcotics prescribed from a doctor to help you cope with life. Now, Jesus said that these aren't going to cross the finish line in faith. I'm just the preacher. That's not my opinion. It is my opinion because it's his opinion. His opinion is my opinion. The fourth group is deceived by money or riches, not money. Lots of Christians have a lot of money that do a lot of good with it. But deceived by riches to think that you're okay because you have money when you do not realize that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So, number six, we learn that we need to receive God's pardon and receive God's Son while it is still today, before tomorrow comes. Because once tomorrow comes, remember, it's too late. You have to make a decision. You have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ today while it's still today. Number seven, we learn that if you do not, then you'll never find rest. And you spell that N-E-V-E-R. Never. So much so that God proverbially puts his hands on a stack of Bibles, raises his other hand and says, I swear, since there's no one greater than me, that you will never find any rest in this world. That's by refusing his Son, Jesus Christ. You don't want that to happen to you. That's what we learned last week. You don't ever want that to happen. Now, speaking of rest, with that backdrop, let's go to chapter 4 in the book of Hebrews and let's talk today about rest. More specifically, the rest of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Okay, yeah, these verses are on the handout if you don't have a Bible. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, building on rest, therefore, since a promise remains of entering into his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. So, the rest of God. Let's look at what it is and what it will be. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. It says, on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work that he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it. That means he set it apart. To sanctify something means it's something that is set apart for special use. He rested, okay, verse 3. Then God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because in it he rested from all of his work which God had created and made. All right, so the rest is not due to fatigue, but it signifies the completion and the perfection of God's work. Unlike the first 6 days, which are marked by evening and morning, the seventh day is different, suggesting the rest continues forever. Nothing follows rest. Throw out the calendar once we get to this day. There's no more, if you notice, it says an evening and morning, evening and morning, evening and morning. But then at the seventh day, God rested, and there's no more evening and morning. Nothing follows rest. Like I said, throw out the calendar once we get to this day, if you get to this day. if you get to this day. He's warning these guys to make sure that they do. Here's a great quote I read on this. The Sabbath is a reflection of God's rest. It's not just a rest from labor, but taking time for spiritual refreshment. Pastor Darren was talking about this Wednesday night. You are a spiritual being living inside a human body. Your spirit needs to be refreshed and strengthened. When you're born again, something happens to your spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says, he who was joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So that's rest. Rest in the here and now. Now let's look at a few more verses here in Hebrews 4. Then we'll look at future rest. Now back from the top. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Therefore, that is, since this hasn't happened yet, and I'm still pursuing rest, all right? Therefore, I better be careful. I better be careful to make sure I don't come short of this striving, is what the writer's trying to say. Also, something is required of me to enter into this rest. Verse 2, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, them being the Jews during the time of Moses and Joshua, when 3 or 4 million of them died during the 40 years in the wilderness, and only their descendants made it in, and they did not enter into God's rest due to unbelief. Unbelief will keep you out. Let me read these last verses from the end of chapter 3, starting in verse 17, Hebrews 3:17. Now, with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? To whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. All right, let me throw the question out here. In your all's opinions, how does God feel about unbelief? Unbelief. Unbelief is the one common denominator that brought the anger of both Father and Son. Unbelief. The only time you'll ever find Jesus angry in the Bible is over unbelief. The author of Hebrews called it an evil heart of unbelief. Want to make God angry? Then don't believe his word. No, you don't want to do that. Please don't. Believe God at his word. Be a man or a woman of faith. Cause Jesus to marvel because of your faith, not to marvel at your lack thereof of it. Back again, verse 2. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Now remember, he's talking about all these Jews that died in the wilderness because of their unbelief. Indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. This past year, you heard a lot about word salad. If anyone watched anything, remember that phrase, word salad? Well, here you got some rest salad. A whole plate of it, right? You got chef salad, toss salad, Greek salad, tuna salad, chicken salad, egg salad, potato salad, fruit salad. You even got Waldorf salad. For those of you that are nuts, but here you've got rest salad. You see, you hear the word of God. Remember, Romans 10:17, it says faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing comes by what? The word of God. Hearing the word of God. And then you mix that, the word of God, and mix that with, I believe. Count me in. I believe. You hear the word of God? You know, I was saved, I don't know how many years ago, when I went to this lukewarm church and the pastor was preaching out of the book from Hillary Clinton's It Takes a Village. And at the end of the sermon, he goes, oh, John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And I, that's me. And I'll tell you what, friend, I've never looked back. That was nigh on 30 years ago. I've never looked back. The word of God, we're going to get to it. It's living and active and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the word of God. It's mixed. You hear the word of God, you on your part say, I believe, count me in, that's for me. Eternal life and salvation and rest, that's for me. I'll take a few eons of that. Thank you very much. How about you? Does entering the rest of God bring you joy, or does it anger you? The end result? Rest. Like the seventh day. No more mornings. No more evening, no more alarm clock, no more calendar, rest. Sounds good, huh, Caitlin? We were talking about this at the door, rest, rest. We're always chasing after rest. Finally, there's coming a time where we're not going to chase it anymore. You got to hold on to it until that time, and don't let any devil steal what you have. But when this comes, throw the calendar out the window. And this author of this letter wants to make sure that you are a part of this. And that comes through believing God at his word. Believing God at his word. I believe I'm a sinner. I believe I need forgiveness of sins. I believe I can't make it into heaven on my own. I believe I need help. I know I have a track record of sin and failure. I know I can't make it. But I believe the man in the glory has paved the way for me. I believe he died for me. I believe his blood obliterates my sin. And I believe that by receiving him, I will receive eternal life and enter into the rest of God. I believe that. Rest. Reminds me of the scripture from the book of Revelation, chapter 14. It says, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. That's Revelation 14, 13. All right, verse 3. For we who have believed, we do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they will not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he who has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Now he's quoting Genesis like I just did. Again, in this place, they will not enter my rest. Verse 6. Since therefore, it remains that some must enter it, and that those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of their disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today. I know this guy is, this was a really hard book for me as a Bible translator. These are all like one sentence. And it was very difficult to translate this book because in Greek they play with words. They put the most important words at the beginning of the sentence, though it belongs at the end of this. And this is all one long sentence here. This guy was brilliant, whoever wrote this. Verse 8, he says, for if Joshua had given them rest. Anyone here have a King James Version Bible? Any King James Version Bibles in here? That's one. Sharon's got one. Sue's got one. If Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. All right, so that's a promise for the future. Rest, and rest from your labors, where we throw away the calendar, praise God. All right, so first we looked at what it is, going back to Genesis, like this guy just did a few verses ago. And then there's this promise of a future rest. A future rest for believers only. If you're an unbeliever, then he's not talking to you. He addressed you last week when he swore in a stack of Bibles and says, you'll never find rest. That was for the unbelievers. For you, all who have received Jesus Christ, rest. He's talking to you. Now, maybe you say, but that's a harsh word. Well, he's throwing you a life preserver. All you got to do is believe, is receive, repent, and believe the gospel. That's what Jesus said. If you think that's a harsh word, that is a harsh word. Because you don't want God, you don't want God to pronounce over your soul, you'll never have rest. Repent and believe the gospel. That's all you got to do. And you thought your insomnia now was bad. The Apostle Peter wrote, therefore, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never, that's N-E-V-E-R, that's the second time I've had to spell the word never. If you do these things, you will never stumble. He didn't say you got to run a 2-minute mile. He says you got to believe and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And hold fast to what you have. That's all. Okay. Let me address verse 8 briefly if you have a King James Version Bible. Jesus is not the correct name here. It's Joshua. Okay? You see, Jesus and Joshua is the same name in Greek because it's the same name in Hebrew. Yeshua is the name for Jesus and it's the name for Joshua. It's the same name.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.